The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 20th day of December, 2021. And tonight we have a whole lot. And first of all, I want to thank all of you folks out there for the pledge week to support the last week and last pledge week of the year. You really came through. Now we're going to really come through for you this year, Lord's willing. if we can stay up, if they don't get to us, we're going to be bringing it to you. And we have a lot to bring to you tonight. That's our job, to be the watchman on the wall. And so here tonight, of course, we have the mighty Andrew on the board.
Good evening, Pastor.
And we have within the studio here Wiley Witt. I'm breaking him in.
Good evening, everybody.
Way out yonder in Missouri, we have that backroads preacher, none other than that traveling Parson Joel Larson.
That highly unpaid professional assistant is here, ready to go to work this Christmas week.
And I want to say right out of the chute, Merry Christmas to all of you out there, hoping this will be your best Christmas ever, all right? And so let's start tonight. Do you know what the title of the message was, Joe?
No, but I know who it's about. It's all about Christ.
Right, and that's why it's called A Christmas Story. That's what it's all about.
Ah.
Well, actually, it's called The Christmas Story. There's a lot of Christmas stories.
The story of Christ, right?
Well, he's the reason for the season, isn't he?
Oh, without him, there would be no reason for most anything.
No, Chris, no. So here, we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, and I want you to read verses 1 through 7 and then pause. But before you do that, I just want to do a little commentary. Luke was a Gentile. Now, this was unusual. So you're getting a very unique perspective from a Gentile physician. And he was the very first historian in the early church. Now, there was a lot of interest in those days. Many, many, many books written about the Lord Jesus and all the things that he was doing. And I had read some of those accounts that were written by people that believed on him and those that didn't believe or believed that he, some of the mothers who had written accounts because their sons took off and followed Jesus and they thought he was, because he was an evil man, an evil spirit. He had power. Some of them thought he had satanic power, and that even the elements, the animals obey him. Even the elements obey him. They missed the whole point, that the good reason for that. So there was a lot of accounts. Now, Luke, Joe, was not an eyewitness, but he had a tremendous interest and bringing the account absolutely in perfect order. That was his goal. And so he interviewed many, many, many people. He interviewed and compared accounts and everything. And he interviewed those eyewitness accounts, like the Lord's, or like the mother, like Mary, and I don't want to say the Lord's mother, but the mother of the Christ child. Mary was the mother of the Christ child. And so with that, he put together a very, very clear perspective. He preserved many, many of the eyewitness accounts of what our Lord said, what our Lord did, and he did it with perfect accuracy. He also, Joe, was the author over there of the book of Acts. And
right.
Here, so now, as we go through there, we see this Theophilus. And by the way, Theophilus means one who loves God, one who loves God. And so, again, he starts out with the book of Acts the same way, addressing Theophilus. And then here, what we know about Theophilus was that he was a Greek, and he might have been a part of the Roman government or at least holding some kind of position. But he was also, we know, a man of good means and a man who had some authority. But Theophilus had a real interest in Christianity. And so Luke's account of Christ's life was written with a very, very clear mind. And Luke was, as you can tell by what he writes, that he was a very thoughtful thinker, if you will. And he continuously mentions about how perfect accuracy. So that's a good intro, Joe. Why don't you start out and read Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 7.
For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of the Abijah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years.
All right, well, now here, at this time, Joe, there was about 20,000 priests, which were divided into 24 separate groups. And each group was just under 1,000 per group. And so Zacharias was one of the courts of Abijah. Now, here, a priest would be lucky if he could serve once in his lifetime. And they actually cast lots. Now, it wasn't no accident, Joe. It was not an accident that the lot fell upon him and to be on duty at this particular time to serve his once-in-a-lifetime duty. So Zacharias, at this time, he was praying for a son, and the people outside were praying for a Messiah to deliver them from Roman rule. Now, Zacharias was the very first. He was the very first to be told that God was about to set in order, Joe, set in motion his own visit to earth. And so Gabriel was a high-ranking angel. And he wasn't one to be questioned or doubted. And so my guess, Gabriel would be the equivalent to, say, a 4-star general within the army. Now, Michael would have been like a 5-star general. And so, you know, we know that Gabriel, we give another account at one point, mentions how when Daniel had prayed, he was dispatched that very hour, but he ended up fighting with Satan for a number of days before Michael the archangel came and set him free. So go ahead now and pick it up with verse 8.
8 through what?
Well, until I tell you to stop.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Okay, now stop right there. Now here, now when he was in there, and Gabriel appeared, just appeared next to him there, how did he know that that wasn't just a man? How did he know that it was an angel of the Lord?
Well, I would think the angel would have some of that glory of the Lord and some of the power and authority, and just the way he appeared probably out of nowhere.
Well, it probably was a pretty awesome sight, all right.
Right, because it said he was a fear fell upon him, so it must have been, well, we've seen some of the descriptions of angels, and some of them seem pretty frightening to me, the power and the way they looked with fire and, you know, could be very, I guess the description to me would be awe-inspiring and frightful.
Well, if he had been a man and he had walked into there, he would have been struck dead.
Right. He wouldn't have been, well.
So he knew right then he wasn't no ordinary man, right?
Right.
In fact,
that would be a clue, yeah.
The other clue would be, yeah, well, because when you served in there, they actually would tie a rope around your ankle, and you would have bells upon the robe that you wore, would have bells on it so that they could hear the tinkling.
Right,
and
if they didn't hear any noise, they would worry and pull you out.
They would give a little tug, and if there wasn't a response, they would tug again with no response, then they would pull you out, and because those on the rope knew that they were responsible to do that, you couldn't leave anything dead in the Holy of Holies there. And so he knew, but now here he says that there's a difference in the way he approached this and the way Mary approached this, the angel. But go ahead and pick it up in verse 18.
All right. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
All right, stop there for a minute. Now, what was he known? I mean, Zacharias was known to be what kind of a man?
Very righteous man.
A very righteous man. He was a priest for God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he was only one of a very select few people that spoke directly to an angel.
Right, through Scripture, yes.
Now, what else something very, very special about him at one time He fathered, okay, the greatest man that ever was born of woman.
Right. Jesus said none is greater than John.
Okay. So here, a lot of these things went through him. And so here, let's pick it up as we continue where you
I'll
left off.
One other thing, if we have time to mention, that when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he had to sacrifice, what, a bullock? The shedding of the blood of a bullock to cleanse himself enough to go into the temple to do the sacrifice of a lamb or a goat for the entire nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It showed the idea of what it took, the purification process for the priest. It had to be a pretty righteous and holy person to survive it.
Yep. So now here, go ahead and pick it up and read it all the way through 23 or 25. Read it through verse 25.
And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men.
Okay, so now, when was the last time that the Lord had that had sent an angel or had spoken to man? It was 500 years earlier.
Years, yeah.
They hadn't heard anything, okay. Well, actually, it was 400 years.
Yeah, nothing.
But for more than 500 years earlier, Gabriel had appeared, and at that time he had appeared to Daniel. So the last time that he appeared to somebody was 500 years prior. Now just think about that. Here's Gabriel, it's 500 years later, and he hasn't aged a bit. Right?
Right. Well, of course not.
And so let me ask you this. Why did Elizabeth say, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men? Why was there a reproach among the men?
Well, when a woman couldn't produce a child for the man, it was like there was something that she had done wrong, that she had had a reproach, that she was being punished.
Well, it was...
In this case, I think God was using it to show his power to take a barren womb and make it lively and young again.
So had she lost favor with God?
No, I don't believe so.
No, so...
I think she had gained favor.
Right, so... But there was a common belief in those days that if a woman could not conceive, and especially to bear a son, then she was out of favor with God.
God, so, right, which was not the case at all.
Right, and I mean, and they always would blame the woman... And not the men. Often there was the problem with the man, right?
Well, if you look at modern science, it's more a male problem usually than it is a woman's problem.
Okay, so here, but God would do these things. Now, remember, was this thing glorified to God? That what did Gabriel say? With God, all things are possible. And they had a lot in common, actually, with Abraham and Sarah, huh?
Sarah, right.
And so
very
here...
It's the same story, only we don't know anything about... I don't know in here that Elizabeth knew anything about this till it happened to her.
Yeah, and so here... well, I think we're going to stop there and pick it up right here tomorrow on verse 26, and then and we'll read it out because... We're going to take a quick jump and go over to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to use the two Gospels in order to give you like a timeline. So with that, we're going to hear, I'm going to play a clip, and because we're going to just continue to try to warn people. People are dying left and right from these poisonous pokes. They're dying left and right from these poisonous pokes. And what do they keep doing? You keep hearing on the radio and TV, get vaccinated. The whole mind is they're telling you to go out and take this. People are dying left and right. And yet, this the depopulation Antichrist process is in effect. And so, go ahead, Big Andy, and play that clip.
The 20th day of December now, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. God bless the Freedom of Information Act. It's one of the only ways that we have to get anything honest out of our government. Obviously, our government would never pass a law like the Freedom of Information Act today, but fortunately, Congress is also too paralyzed to ever repeal it. But thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, we have some hope of getting some honest data about coronavirus cases and vaccines from our government, but rest assured, they will kick and scream as much as possible before forking any of that over. Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency is a professional organization of scientists and doctors. They recently filed a Freedom of Information Act request for the data used by the Food and Drug Administration to justify authorizing the COVID-19 shots being falsely referred to as vaccines. Now, the Freedom of Information Act requires federal agencies to reply to requests within 20 days, though they can take longer if it actually takes that long to find and assemble the requested data. Well, last month, the FDA responded to that group's request. They said that it would take them 55 years to meet their request for information. Yeah, you heard that right. 55 years. Now, the FDA apparently could decide to approve these vaccines for emergency use in a matter of weeks last year, but can't produce the same information for others any earlier than 2076. Let's put that figure into perspective. 55 years in the other direction is 1966. It's before the moon landing. It's the early years of the Vietnam War. It's only 1 year after Medicare started. The years since 1966 have seen every single Super Bowl ever played. They contain the entirety of the personal computer revolution. That's how much time the FDA claims it needs to compile some documents requested by concerned citizens about the so-called approval process of a so-called vaccine that's barely a year old. Barely a year old, but yet already, according to the CDC's own vaccine adverse events reporting system, has already caused over 20,000 deaths. And we know those deaths to be only less than 1% of actual vaccine injuries, according to a Harvard study. The FDA's excuse is that the request would require producing 329,000 pages of documents, and that all of these documents have to be redacted to remove business and trade secrets for Pfizer and BioNTech. Huh, what a remarkably useful excuse to have. The incredible thing, by the way, is that this FOIA request was filed by supporters of the vaccines. They're professors at universities like Harvard and Yale who argue that full transparency would make the public more likely to get vaccinated. Yet, fascinatingly, the same FDA that rushed through approval of these shots isn't eager to play along in the transparency game. God bless Dr. Jane Ruby, who's all over this, and she joins us now. Dr. Jane, thank you for being here.
Yeah, Stu, the shocking part of this story, I mean, we know there are injuries, right, and deaths. The shocking part is that they knew, and they knew early. Pfizer knew, the FDA knew. The documents were obtained, as you said, by a group of doctors, journalists, and professors that call themselves Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency. And they filed this FOIA. What do we see in them? I looked through the entire document. The most shocking parts of it were that as early as February of this year alone, when Pfizer's shot was being rolled out worldwide on an emergency basis, in the first 3 months they knew before this rollout, that they had already compiled over 42,000 reports, and that entailed 160,000 injuries, Stu. Let's take a closer look. There were 1,223 deaths between the ages of 31 and 50. There were over 25,000 nervous system injuries, 17,000 musculoskeletal injuries, thousands of heart attacks and strokes, 14,000 GI, 270 babies lost their lives in miscarriages. Sue, remember I said five beagle dogs died in the Celexa animal studies 25, 30 years ago? We have 270 babies that died, 1,223 adults died. And this thing rolled out after February. They knew. The shocking part is they knew. They knew as early as February 21st or 2021, and they rolled it out anyway, Stu. And let me add something else to this. Pfizer is now saying, well, listen, these are self-reported injuries. You know, doctors, patients, their families, we can't be held responsible for that. Well, guess what? You broke your own blind and you failed to conduct safety studies after you broke. When they broke the blind, Stu, that means that the placebo control went away. And all we could possibly be left with in a study is self-reporting and voluntary reporting. And here's another revelation from these materials. They have a lot of missing data, but we knew that, right? Because no part of the study looked at people who were pregnant, what, pregnant women, breastfeeding women, people under 12 years of age, and effectiveness was not studied. I've raised this before, but it's very important to remember this study was not done to look at efficacy against a placebo, which means that they cannot claim that they prevent the flu. But yet they are claiming that they have efficacy to prevent catching it, transmitting it, and going to the hospital for it. And in fact, the other egregious part is that the FDA actually challenged this FOIA in court, as you said, because they told the court it needed till 2096 to disclose what they claim is over 400,000 pages. And even the CEO of Pfizer will be dead by then if he dies of natural causes. And I wanted to add one other thing to your attention. Speaking of Albert Bulos, the CEO of Pfizer, he has now come out and said, after saying, by the way, that the initial shots were 95% effective, oh, now we have a little waning, but we're going to do a booster. He has now come out, Stu, in the last few days or so, and said that we're going to need a fourth booster to get through the winter, but that booster really won't touch Omicron. But don't be afraid. Have no fear. Pfizer has an Omicron-specific booster or slash vaccine in the works and ready to be launched just in time for your 6-month booster, March of 2022.
In 6 months, five shots. Go ahead. I cannot believe this.
it's a lot of insanity, Stu. I get it. And you know what else? Still, Pfizer employees, I'm hearing, have not been mandated to take this. But Stu, they knew early. And they went ahead with this. They don't care.
They actively tried to suppress and are still trying because they're saying that it's going to take, you know, 100 years to get this thing done. 160,000 is what you're saying. The number is 160,000 bioweapon injuries were hidden intentionally, covered up, kept in secret, behind the big curtain, away from public purview. 160,000 injuries. And see, this is the thing. We talk about this vaccine adverse events reporting system, and they talk about it being less than reliable because people fill it out for themselves. Well, first of all, it's very difficult to do it. I have tried to navigate my way around that thing just to peek around and look at how easy or difficult it is for somebody to report these injuries. Because in my Telegram, I have seen people say, look, my daughter is vaccine injured, and I don't know how to do this. I can't do this. I was going to try to help them out if I could. It's difficult to do. And number two, it's a federal offense. It's a felony to falsify information in that vaccine adverse events reporting system. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct, Stu. Look, we have 20,000 deaths, and that's with the CDC messing with the numbers, throttling them off. And they have to approve every single one of them for it to become an official part of the record. Stu, I want to leave everybody with this question. Where is Congress? You don't have an excuse anymore. You're sitting on your hands, both sides of the aisle. You're all guilty. You're all complicit. You've had more than enough time and more than enough evidence and information. Where is the Congress?
Yeah. Manchin, Joe Manchin, the senator, the traitor to our country, had enough testicular fortitude. He had the balls to shut down this over-excessive Build Back Better and made it Build Back Never. He took a stand. Where yes. are the rest of our senators and congresspeople as our kids are being subjected to a bioweapon that in just 10 months has killed three times as many people as every previously approved vaccine combined? All of them. Did you hear what I said? If you're an elected representative, if you're a public servant, you have been put on notice with an affidavit provided by Dr. Jane Ruby, with exhibits of evidence provided by Karen Kingston, a biotech analyst, as well as exhibits that support yep. her evidentiary claims, that these, you now have been put on notice. You have no more plausible deniability, and any furtherance to continue this process or not use your office as a servant elected by the people to stop this makes you complicit in a conspiracy to commit murder. I hope you understand that. I'm out of time. Perfect, I got to get going here. But Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much for bringing this to the light. And we admire the way that since the very beginning of this thing, as a person who was semi-partially retired, moved to Florida to kick her feet up and enjoy the rest of her life there with no stress, no anxiety. Boy, you have thrown yourself right in the middle of all of this. And we are really blessed to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you.
All righty, we're back. And the question, Joe, was, where's our Congress in this? Where's our Congress when all of this? Now,
we've heard crickets, right?
Well, no, not actually. You had some people. First of all, you've had Ted Cruz is one, but the fellow there from Kentucky, Rand Paul, he is really.
He's been.
And yeah. the fellow right there from where you're at, Holly. He's been a very outspoken.
Considering the size of Congress, we've heard crickets. I mean,
yeah.
we're just
well. Here's the reason. Here's the reason, Joe. You see, they can bring it now. Jim Jordan has really gone after it, and that Green woman, she has been. You know, there's been in several, but we don't have a Department of Justice. You see.
No.
You've got a really dirty cop. Eric Garland is a dirty cop. Eric Garland is a dirty cop. Eric Garland is a dirty cop. I wanted to say that three times because he will not prosecute. He will not do his job. He's betraying. He will not prosecute these people. And so they know that.
Well,
all of the corruption there.
After he's busy, he's trying to go after those January 6th arm insurrectionists if they could find the arms. And he's busy going after parents who are objecting to school boards, you know, showing porn to our children from the fifth grade on up. I mean, he's got his hands full.
Yeah, I know.
Trying to change society.
I have an article here, and this goes right along with what they just said. RFK Jr., reporter, found a monument to dead orphans tortured and killed by Monster Fauci. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. joined the High Wire recently to discuss his best-selling book on Monster, Dr. Tony Fauci. During the discussion, RFK Jr. revealed that reporter Cecilia Farber went to the cemetery in New York State where the tortured orphan children were buried. These victims were Fauci's experimental patients. See, you won't hear this out there because the corrupted, the godless, wicked, evil, soulless, corrupted liberal media, NBC, ABC, CBS, they don't have anywhere near the decency, the common decency to even report on this. They're bought and paid for like every other prostitute. Every whore that walks down the street, that's how they're bought and they're paid for. Fauci has a long history of mass death, barbarism, and lies. In 2004, Fauci's NIH was also caught funding experiments on AIDS orphans at New York City Hospital. The Gateway Pundit reported on this dark Fauci chapter in October. Fauci, the NIH, approved experiments on hundreds of New York City orphans. Government agencies and pharmaceutical companies used the orphans in deadly AIDS drug trials. You know,
we reported that as soon as we found that story, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. In 2005, the cities of New York hired the Vera Institute to form a final report on the drug trials. Vera was given no access to medical records for any of the children used in the trials. Their report was published in 2008. They reported that 25 children died during the drug studies that, in addition, 55 children died following the studies in foster care. And according to Tim Ross, director of the Child Welfare Program of Vera, in 2009, 29% of the remaining 417 children were used in drug studies had died. So out of a total of 532 children that are admitted to have been used by the monster Fauci. And so...
And if people want more, they can go. The name of that book is The Real Anthony Fauci by RFK Jr. And it's Skyhorse Publishing. Skyhorse Publishing. And you will find it's hard. You can find it on Amazon, but you will find it is not being announced. You will find it difficult to find the book. The only place that you can find it is go to Amazon that I know of. They're trying to keep this book blacked out. So the title, The Real Anthony Fauci by RFK Jr., and it is published by Skyhorse Publishing.
Joe, is that on the bestseller list, rising pretty high?
Yes, it is, considering there's no publicity on the book whatsoever except places like this.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Well, there's another one. Not only that, they're trying to stop here. Here's another one. Medical fascism. The FDA conspiring with the United States Postal Service to block shipments of life-saving ivermectin. They've been blocking those. I know that a number of the people in our church have been buying ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and others, and we've been getting it from out of the country, and they're trying to block it. They're trying to stop it. They wanted people to die. Folks, you listen to me out there. You people that took the shot, I feel bad for you, but you were very gullible. You're very gullible to trust a corrupt government. You know how corrupt the government is, and I feel for you, but you got to be gullible to trust this government that's killed over 100 million of unborn children. And
right,
so,
but people were fooled, even Trump, when he ordered this rush on the experimental vaccines to be produced. I don't think he had any idea of the corruption in the NIH and the CDC and the big pharma, all the tie-ins that we know now. And Dr. Peter McCullough, we've talked about him many times. He's been writing Americans, warning Americans of the biggest public health crisis. It's led to large numbers of deaths, hospitalizations, permanent disabilities, on this untold harm. And he's talking about because of the censorship on information. They've censored information on the early treatments. They basically lied by omission all the way through this. And Dr. Peter McCullough has testified before the U.S. Senate on this suppression of, you talked about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and he's been warning about the number of deaths in myocarditis and pericarditis. And, it's just, you're right. Everywhere you look, even the British Medical Journal, we talked about this a few weeks back, had a whistleblower talking about the poor practices in the clinical trial of the Pfizer vaccine and how it should have never, never been approved.
Well, Senator Johnson was one that really went after this. He was trying to expose it. He was doing his best to try to expose. But again, he was exposing this, but they're not going to. We do not have, it's up to the Attorney General's office, and they're corrupt. They're corrupt to the hilt. And that's why you haven't heard any of these, they're not bringing any of these corrupt things, Hunter Biden, any of the corruption, because they're simply a part of the Democratic Communist Party. This is why they cannot afford to have...
lose the House and the Senate in this next election.
They know that because they know that.
Majority, they are going to jail, many of them.
Many of them are going to jail. They know that. And this is why Hillary is getting ready, I think, to run again. And, she's got to find a way to where she can corrupt the election again and stop it, because she knows that if Trump gets back in there, she's going to jail this time, because now they've got more and more evidence. They've got the evidence through that special investigator, Durham. And so she knows she's going to jail if he gets back in. And so she's going to, you're going to see, I'm pretty sure Hillary's going to throw her hat in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Right now, Durham just went to the special counsel. Durham told a federal court he is looking at members of former Secretary of State Clinton's presidential campaign as part of his criminal inquiry into the origins and conduct of Trump-Russia investigation, you know. And his team is asking a federal judge to inquire into a potential conflict of interest related to the lawyers there that were part of her campaign that were for the British Steel, you know, dossier and all that. So, I mean, he's pushing it right in federal court right now this week.
Well, you know, it's speaking of that very quickly, Senate Majority Leader Chuckie Schumer was getting money from Vladimir Putin after accusing Donald Trump of being a Russian stooge. That's right. Remember what they always say.
You can't make this stuff up, can you?
Well, remember what Marx taught. They'll always accuse you of doing what they're doing. Right? That was part of his book. Always accuse the opposition. Whatever crime you're committing, accuse the opposition of doing that. And do it loudly. But go ahead. Witt's got something to say. Get it said.
Well, I was just going to say, regarding the people that have taken the vax, would you say that they lacked discernment? Would you say that with the Holy Spirit, you would know?
I think the answer to that would be found in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, okay? It addresses exactly that, about having discernment in that. And yeah, well, they again.
I think many of us had the discernment not to take this injection.
Well, first of all, you know, when you would have people in these vaxes, they contained the cells of aborted babies, right there for that reason and no other reason alone. But
amen.
It's not a vax. I almost fell off my chair when I heard Franklin Graham. He knows better. He really should have known better. I don't know what they did, how they got to him, how they convinced him to do that. But the Lord dealt with him on that because he had a heart attack afterwards.
Yeah. The VA was telling people that was not true, because when I personally asked a couple of doctors at the VA, and they said, oh, no, there wasn't any of the any of that was, they said none of that was true. And that was, there was an old stem line from 20 years ago or something, and they said it was so, you know, far from the aborted child that it wasn't even valid. So the VA was going along and lying to patients. So, you know, you've got many sources telling people falsehoods. I can see where people early on with the vaccine hadn't had time to hear the truth.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. A whole lot of the vets know better. They know, that especially those your age and mine, the Vietnam vets, they know better not to trust the government. They know what happened before. And so...
No.
And so they didn't trust it. I talked to several doctors down there, and I gave them an education, and they know that they're losing credibility amongst people. People no longer trust their medical doctors, the MD, because they went along with this. All of these that were in these co-ops, they're run by Big Pharma. And it's like everything else out there today. They've lost credibility. There's a big trust gap there. You can't really trust them anymore.
Right. We have a one world order that's trying to take over. That's the big corporations, big pharma, these international corporations. They want to control things on a worldwide basis. And this is a revolution. People have to understand we are experiencing daily a revolution by the one world order through using the communist methods. and trying to bring about a socialist communist state here in the United States.
Let me read you this article, Medical Fascism. Attorney Aaron Siri published a document he discovered suggesting that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is conspiring with the United States Postal Service to block imports of ivermectin being sent to America consumers from overseas. Okay. In a tweet, Siri drew attention to a notice of FDA action, a letter explaining that the USP, the United States Post Office, is now illegally spying on packages. If found to contain ivermectin, those packages are being detained and later destroyed if the recipient is unable to prove that the shipment is for some other use besides treating the Tony Fauci virus. A small shipment addressed to you from a foreign country is being held by the post office at the request of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The letter reads, listed below that a sentence is summary of current status of individual line showing a box of 200 tablets of Iverheal 12 ivermectin tablets, USP 12 megagrams, which the USP detained. So here, you know, we ordered, those in our church ordered for the people in the church, and we got it. But now the people that are trying to order from the same company can't get them. So, yeah, the reason is this is, we've been telling people, but they won't, they still can't figure it out. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're listening to NBC, ABC, CBS. They're getting disinformation out there. And it's going to kill a whole lot of them, okay? And what does it say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's what's happening. Now, many of them are getting sick and dying, but they're being told, well, you're not dying from the vax. You're dying from something else, but not the vax, okay? And, you know, I just really...
Lester, you know, was 180 degrees the opposite. Everything was the COVID.
Yep. Well, it's not COVID. They're dying from the vax. Twice as many are dying from the vax that ever died from the COVID. So, in fact, here's a good example of that. Lancet letter says stigmatizing unvaccinated in society, not justified. German researcher Gunter Kampf wrote a correspondence published in The Lancet that presents science is evidence to support the right of all unvaccinated people to live their lives as normal and not stigmatized by the government and the fully vaccinated. Look, almost 90% of these people that are getting sick or going to the hospital and dying are vaccinated. They're the vaxxed. Now, you've got athletes that are dropping dead all over the world. They will not show you this. I've got a picture of one right here. They will not show you that. Now, we have films of it. We have films of soccer games, basketball games, football games. It will not be shown on the lamestream media. And Fox News knows better than to show, too, because all you got to do is see how much Pfizer advertises on their, you know, on Fox News. So they're not going to bring it to you either. They'll justify because of the money. And so that's why we're here.
Yep. Well, we've got Dr. Robert Malone, who is the inventor of the mRNA technology behind the vaccines that made them possible. He came out in a video today, I believe, and explained that while the original SARS-CoV-2 virus went to the lungs, a new study from the University of Hong Kong, it's being reviewed right now, indicates that Omicron is settling in the upper respiratory tract. And he said that makes it more transmissible, but less virulent. He's saying that this Omicron could be God's answer prayer. It could be our Christmas present because we're having more people getting sick with mild symptoms. These people are recovering and then have natural immunity to COVID-19, which is many, 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 many times better than any false vaccination that they're trying to claim. And, you know, clear back in South Africa, the officials are reporting that only like around 1% of the identified COVID cases had to go to a hospital, and but they were sending, you know, like 20% in the fourth Delta-driven wave that they had there. So the people are still going to the hospital, but they're the ones that have the Delta, not the Omicron. So we're seeing all the way over the world there are different models, and different doctors are all saying, you know, hey, this could be a good thing, and quit screaming fear. But our government, all they can do is scream fear and double down, and they want you to be afraid. They want you to take this vax, this poison poke, and yet people all over the world are trying to warn that, hey, this is a good thing, this new COVID. So that's the truth.
Well, here, this is out of the USA. In Massachusetts, a total of 469 new COVID cases were detected during the various months in July. 346, 74% of those cases were in people. Now listen, 74% were in people that were fully vaxxed.
Right.
274 of them who were symptomatic. So there you go.
This thing is spreading, and it's talking about the CDC said Omicron accounted for 73% of all the new infections in the United States last week. Guess what? We still don't have any deaths from Omicron, although it is the, let's say, the disease of the week, shall we?
I think there's been one.
Variant of the week?
I think there's been one.
There's been one, finally. I didn't see that. I missed that one. But oh, yeah, you're right. There was one person, but that person had several comorbidities, and a bad cold, a flu, anything could have killed this person. So,
okay, here you go.
Illness.
Vaccines are now exterminating oblivious Democrats, while illegal immigrants are protected from vaccines so they can't replace the dead Democrats. Well, you know, there's something. One of the reasons they did not want to vaccinate the illegals that Biden's bringing in, okay? Well, we're going to tell you about that here right after the break. We're going to go into that. But here, I don't really have time to get into this article here, but Joe Biden promised winter of severe illness and death.
Yep.
Isn't merely a threat. It's a roadmap to the mass murder of obedient, oblivious Democrats who believed, well, yeah, Democrats are more than twice as likely to take the poisonous poke as a Republican, believed authorities, and took the spike protein injections that are mislabeled vaccines. Now as winter accelerates and vitamin D deficiencies take hold, those obedient Democrats are going to be dying in unprecedented numbers. The CDC warns that 15,600 Americans will be dying each week by Christmas. We're going to a break.
It happened. It's almost Christmas, and I don't think they're going to make it. Do you?
Well, they're dying right now. They're dying. I mean, you're not hearing about it.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.